Anyone here this morning who has ever visited the old town of Edinburgh most likely will have noticed a statue just at the southern end of the George IV Bridge, a little bronze statue of the most famous dog in Scotland, a dog known as Greyfriars Bobby. Greyfriars Bobby was a little Skye terrier that belonged to a man by the name of John Grey, who is buried in the old kirkyard at Greyfriars Church in the old city of Edinburgh. It is believed and it is supposed that after this man died, the little dog spent 14 years guarding his master's grave. Thus, he became the most famous dog in Scotland and has also been described as the most faithful dog in the world. It's amazing how faithful a dog can be. You can smack a dog with a stick, you can leave it out in the rain, you can starve it, and yet it'll still, generally speaking, be faithful to its master. If only human beings were as faithful. One of the great characteristics of the day and generation that we are living in, as far as society is concerned, is unfaithfulness. The psalmist lamented this fact whenever he said in Psalm chapter 12, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from amongst the children of men." And the psalmist recognized this trend in his society. As there was a departure from God, and as there was a downgrade concerning godliness, he realized as well that had an effect upon this whole aspect of faithfulness. And so it is in our society as well. As people get away from the Word of God, and they get away from God's house, and they depart from God's truth and God's gospel, it seems that there's a rise in unfaithfulness. Think about our society for just a moment. Think about the home. And it seems that there's a lack of faithfulness even in the home. Children, by and large, are becoming more and more unfaithful to parents and vice versa. Many parents are unfaithful to their children concerning especially their spiritual and emotional and moral needs. And then we think of marriage as well, and the breakdown of marriage in our society is staggering. Husbands unfaithful to wives, wives unfaithful to husbands, business as well, employers and employees unfaithful to one another, and even concerning paying our bills and so on and so forth. And then we think as well of the church, and even having a kind of faithfulness to a local church or to a spiritual home is something that more and more is a thing of the past, because people no longer know what they believe. Individuals no longer have spiritual convictions grounded in the Word of God. And so there's a seeker-friendly kind of a church system now. And people, rather than going to a church based on what that church stands for or what it teaches, will just flit about and try to get as much out of a church as they can. And so there's a by and large, a departure even concerning godliness that results in unfaithfulness. And of course, the most marked trend concerning unfaithfulness is unfaithfulness to God Himself. Many who profess to know the Lord oftentimes deny Him. And then many who have been brought up under the truth depart from it. And they get away from the truth of God's Word, whether it's in doctrine or in practice. And the result of it all is that in our world and in our society, there's a great breakdown in trust. And people are filled with skepticism and paranoia and all sorts of different things. And the philosophy that many people have is don't trust anyone. I heard a story once about a young lad, and his father was trying to teach him some valuable lessons in life, and he set him up on the kitchen table and he says, "Now son, I want you to stand there, I'm going to take a few steps back, and I want you to trust me, and I want you to believe that if you jump off the table, I'll catch you." We've all heard stories like that before, but this story was one of a with a bit of a difference. The wee boy stood on the table and says, "Now, Dad, you promise you'll catch me?" "Yes, son, just trust me. Just jump into my arms. Sure, I love you, and you can trust me." And of course, the little boy jumped. And just as he jumped, the father stepped back, and the little boy fell onto the floor in the kitchen, and his dad pointed at him and said, "Son, don't trust anyone." And that's how some people are brought up. Don't trust anyone. And even those that we should be able to trust, very often experience dictates that we shouldn't trust anyone. But yet the Bible makes it clear that if we can't trust anyone in this world, we can certainly trust in Almighty God. Psalm 56, the psalmist David was going through a time of affliction from the Philistines, and he reminds the Lord, he says in Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Verse 4, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And then in verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." I think it's on the American cent, one of her coins anyway, that they have the words there, "In God we trust." And we can trust in God because God is faithful. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. And I just want to say three simple things about the faithfulness of God this morning. First of all, and very briefly, the fact of his faithfulness. The fact of his faithfulness. Again, like all of the other attributes of God we've considered, whether it's God's omniscience, omnipresence, or omnipotence, or holiness, or justice, or goodness, whatever attribute it is, these attributes are clearly defined and declared in Scripture. And the Word of God is abundantly clear that God, the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, the Creator of all things, is a God who is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." Moses calls God the faithful God because, yes, God is faithful. The prophet Isaiah marked the same thing in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 7. He says, "Because of the Lord that is faithful." So Scripture presents us with the fact that God is faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah says, "Great is thy faithfulness." Jeremiah also had declared in the prophecy of Jeremiah itself, chapter 42, verse 5, "The Lord is a true and faithful witness." And then whenever you come to the New Testament, you read again and again and again about the faithfulness of God. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God, who is faithful, will also provide a way of escape. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, the word faithful comes from a word, an original Hebrew word, that means to prop up or to stay or to support. So somebody who is faithful is someone who you can safely lean upon, someone who is reliable. And whenever the Bible talks about God being a faithful God, it really means that God is a reliable God. We can cast ourselves upon God, and God is able to uphold us. God is our strength. God is our stay. God is our support. God, as it were, props us up. God is more than a crutch. God is a rock. And we can cast ourselves upon God because God is 100% reliable. So the Bible shows us the fact of his faithfulness. And then we could consider some of the features of his faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is everything that God is. John Calvin, the great reformer and theologian, said, God is always like himself. God is always like himself. Have you ever heard it said whenever somebody says something or does something, and then somebody sees this or takes note of it, and they say, well, that's just not like him. Or if you do something, they say, well, that's not like you. Or you maybe see a photograph of yourself, and you think, that's certainly not like me. Well, God is always like himself. God never does anything or is anything that's out of keeping with his character or with his attributes. And whenever you think about the faithfulness of God, it's entirely in keeping with everything that God is. We often use the shorter catechism to give a concise definition of God. What is God? God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And if you think about those three words, those three adjectives that are used to describe God, he's infinite, he's eternal, and he's unchangeable. And those attributes describe God's goodness, his love, and also his faithfulness. God's faithfulness is infinite. God's faithfulness is eternal. And God's faithfulness is unchangeable. And again, we stress that none of God's attributes are to be viewed in isolation from each other. We often have a terrible habit of doing that. There are people, and they will take the attribute of God's love, and they'll say, well, God is love, and they'll ignore God's holiness and God's justice. And then there's others, and they'll take the attribute of God's anger, and they'll focus on that, and they'll isolate that. And what inevitably happens whenever you take one of God's attributes in isolation, it either leads to error, or it leads to extremism, or it leads to legalism, or it leads to liberalism. God needs to be viewed as one true and living God, and all of his attributes ought to be seen as one, like a diamond. You might have one diamond, but you've got many different facets of that diamond, and as the light shines upon that diamond, it's reflected again through the facets of the diamond, and we can see the diamond in a different light. But we need to look at God and see all of his facets together as one true and living God. Because God is unchanging, therefore God is faithful. Now, people can be faithful for a while, and then maybe circumstances change, or emotions change, or things get said, or things get done, and a person ceases to be faithful. Well, God is unchangeable. And his faithfulness is not based upon circumstances or even upon things that people think or say or do. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. In James 1:17, we read about God being a God who is without variableness, neither shadow of turning. And because God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, of necessity, God has to be faithful as well. And Jeremiah tells us that God's faithfulness is great. In the midst of living in a nation that's departed from God, is ripe for judgment, Jeremiah proves that God is faithful every single day. The writer of the hymn that we were singing earlier, Thomas Chisholm, I think his surname was, if that's pronounced right, was born in a little log cabin in Kentucky. He was born into a poor home and a poor family. He never enjoyed good health. He did receive an education, but his employment life was a life of ups and downs. He tried so many different things, and so many things just didn't seem to work out for him. But he realized and hung his heart upon Lamentations 3:23. These words became so precious to him. Great is thy faithfulness. Whenever circumstances change, whenever health goes up and down, whenever my emotional life isn't what it ought to be, Whenever my job seems to change and family seems to change, one thing never changes, and that is the faithfulness of God. And he wrote that great hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," after 30 years of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. At a famous crusade in London in the 1950s, one man who went on, I understand, to become a writer and a Christian minister, heard that song sung for the first time. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee." That man sat in that meeting. He had endured life in London during the Second World War, whenever London was bombed so many different times, and homes and families and businesses around him were destroyed. And he says, "As a young man, I cast myself upon God, and in the place of prayer often quoted Lamentations 3:23, great is thy faithfulness." He said, "Days seemed hopeless, but even in the darkest hours, God proved his faithfulness. Oftentimes we were near to death, and it was of the Lord's mercies that I was not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Christian, this morning, maybe your days seem hopeless. You maybe think about trials in your family, circumstances with your loved ones, problems in the workplace, problems with your health, fears about the future, concerns about your family, and it seems that you're living in a dark hour. But all the while, God's faithfulness is great. God's faithfulness is unfathomable. The psalmist said in Psalm 36:5, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." In other words, God's faithfulness is greater than my need. It reacheth unto the clouds. If I could get myself into the stratosphere, I would find that even there, God's faithfulness can be found and experienced. It's inexhaustible. It's unfathomable. And you think of who we are in all of our sin and unbelief, and yet God is still faithful. And then there's a wonderful verse in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. And I want some of you to get a hold of this verse and get a handle on it this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 tells us that God's faithfulness is not only great and unfathomable, but it's an abiding faithfulness. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. This is the last letter that Paul ever wrote. He wrote it from a prison cell in Rome. He knew that within a few short hours or days, he would be martyred for his faith. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready to be offered." And he wrote this last letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, reading from verse 11, it is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." He cannot deny himself. He abideth faithful. And even if unbelief creeps into your hearts, God is still faithful. He indicates that this is not a license to sin. But he does try to encourage Timothy. Listen, God is faithful. He says, Timothy, you might live in a world of unbelief. God is still faithful. There might be people out there, Timothy, and they'll deny the faith. But Timothy, God will still be faithful. And Timothy, you might struggle at times. You might suffer. Your faith might be sifted and your faith might be shaken, as it was with Peter. But God abideth faithful. The features of God's faithfulness. The fact of God's faithfulness. Then thirdly, the focus of God's faithfulness. The implications of this truth are far-reaching. And we could spend a lifetime considering all of these different aspects or facets of God's faithfulness. But what is the focus of God's faithfulness? Who or what is God faithful to? Well, there's just four that I want to leave with you this morning for your encouragement. First of all, God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His promises. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 tells us, it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Now, God is almighty. But there are certain things that God cannot do because God is holy. And God cannot, and God will not, and God does not lie. In other words, God is a God of integrity. Scripture tells us that He has magnified His word above His very name. He holds His word in high esteem. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 4:21, that He is able to fulfill what He has promised. He's able to perform what He's promised. And God has committed Himself to this book. God has committed Himself to fulfilling every promise that He has ever given. Even Balaam. Do you remember Balaam there back in the book of Numbers? And Balaam was a kind of enigma, a man that in some things was faithful and in other things was unfaithful and proved to be, as it were, a false prophet. But in spite of everything that Balaam was and in spite of everything that Balaam did, Balaam said in the book of Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie, that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Balaam's saying, God is faithful to His promises. If God promises something, God will fulfill His promises. Moses declared it as well in that verse that we read earlier, Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. It says there, God is a faithful God which keepeth covenant. A covenant is a promise. And many people make covenants, many people make promises and break them, but not God. God keeps His promises. God keeps His covenants. God is faithful to them because He's a promise and He's a covenant-keeping God. He is faithful to His promises. Psalm 89, 34, my covenant will I not break. And you can take your Bible, friend, and you can go through the Scriptures, and you will see just that God is faithful to His promises. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, we read that God's promises hold good. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is He that promised. You can trust Him. Whenever Solomon built this temple, he looked back at the dedication of the temple whenever everything was put in place, and he said to the children of Israel, there hath not failed one word of anything that God has said. Every promise that God has given has held good. Sarah was able to testify that God was faithful to her. God promised her a son, and even in spite of unbelief at times, whenever she laughed at God, God fulfilled His promises. Friend, you can trust Him today. Standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Why? Because I'm standing on the promises of God. God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His own person. We read earlier, did we not, in 2 Timothy 2:13, He cannot deny Himself. God is consistent with all His attributes. He displays wisdom. He demonstrates love. He not only says He is love, but He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God says He is just. Therefore, He does and will demonstrate justice. God declares Himself to be holy, and He displays that. God tells us that He's merciful. And whenever somebody repents of their sin and confesses them, God displays mercy. And so it is with faithfulness. God displays faithfulness. Why? Because He is faithful. and he's faithful to his person. An old theologian by the name of Hendrickson said, divine faithfulness is a wonderful comfort to those who are loyal. But it is a very earnest warning for those who might be inclined to become disloyal. You see, there's a positive side to God's faithfulness. God promises to honor those who honor him. God promises to provide for those who seek him. God promises to forgive those who confess. God promises to lead those who obey his word. He gives so many promises to those who are faithful, but God will at the same time be faithful in punishing those who reject Christ and reject the gospel. Some people have the idea, well, God's faithful, that means God will let me into heaven. Well, if you haven't been faithful to him and you haven't obeyed the gospel and you haven't repented of your sin, God will be faithful in inflicting the penalty of the law. God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his person. God is faithful to his purposes. And what's God's great purpose in this sin-cursed world? God's great purpose in this earth is to save or redeem a people unto himself for his own glory. And God will be, and God always has been, and God is being faithful to that purpose. God is saving a people in this world. God is building his church. And he's faithful to that purpose. And everything that happens in the life of a Christian is working out for God's great purposes. The hymn writer said, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And in being faithful to his promises, his person, and his purposes, God is always faithful to his people. You know, I take tremendous encouragement from this, because my salvation does not rest upon anything that I do or anything that I have done, although God does call us to be faithful, but my salvation rests in the faithfulness of God. Do you ever have cause to doubt your salvation? Do you ever have cause to wonder, has God or could God really save and keep me and get me at last to heaven? Well, if you're looking at anything that you have done, of course your faith's going to struggle. But if you get your eyes off yourself and off your circumstances and get them onto the sovereign Savior, then you will become assured that yes, God is faithful. You see, God is faithful in pardoning his people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God promises to do that. So if I come as a sinner to the Lord, even as a saint who's let the Lord down, and I confess my sin, and I acknowledge it, and I don't try to cover it up, God says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, all because of the atoning work of our Savior. He also is faithful not only in pardoning his people, but in protecting his people. As the hills or the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. He says, I've given mine angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And God protects his people. There are many things that could happen to us day and daily, and yet God protects us. And then God is also faithful in preserving his people. If you turn just for a moment here to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 19, there's a verse that I want to leave with you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And Peter here is talking about suffering. At other times in his letters, he talks about the trial of your faith. But in this verse, he reminds us, if you are suffering as a child of God, and you're living in the will of God, and you're tempted to doubt the Lord, he says again, cast your soul upon the Lord. He's a faithful creator. And he will be faithful in preserving his people. The Apostle Paul, and we quoted the verse already, says that whenever we face trial, or he uses the word temptation, he says there's no temptation that has taken you or has befallen you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And whenever you're tempted, and whenever you're tried, and whenever you're tested, and you think there's no way out of this, there's no way I can resist this, there's no way I can get through this, Paul says, listen, God's faithful. And God will provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He's faithful in providing. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes you wonder, some of you, where you're going to be able to make ends meet. Maybe how you're going to be able to provide for your family. Or how you're going to be able to provide for yourself in old age. And all of these things can cause us to be afraid. But God is faithful. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see to it. God will provide. God is also faithful to the prayers of his people. Psalm 143, the first two verses. Let me find them and read them for you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. God is faithful to the prayers of his people. God is faithful whenever his people are being persecuted. God is faithful, dare we use the word, in punishing or chastising his people. The psalmist said, I know that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. And God is also faithful in perfecting his people, whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. God is faithful. You say this morning, well, what way do I respond to this? If God is a faithful God, well, what do I do? Do I just lapse back and say, whatever will be, will be? Or is there anything that God wants me to do in response to this truth that great is his faithfulness? Well, yes, three simple things. Trust him. Trust him. You cannot trust him in vain. Because God is faithful to those who trust in him. Faith is responding to the faithfulness of God. Folks, if we hear that God is faithful and we say that we believe it, but we don't trust him for everything, we're making him a liar. And we're saying, God, I don't really believe that you're faithful at all, and I'm not going to trust you. God says, listen, I'm faithful. I want you to trust me. I'm faithful, and so I want you to obey me. By faith, Abraham obeyed the call of God. Do you ever read Hebrews 11? By faith, and every time people responded to the word of God, by faith it led to action, it led to obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed. God wants us to obey him. Very well, God says, if you believe that I'm faithful, trust me. And if you believe that I'm faithful, then obey me. And if we trust and obey, one day we will hear God say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And then if we believe God is faithful, God wants us to proclaim it, as it were, from the housetop. Psalm 89, and this is our last verse for today. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth. Will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations? Now, it's important that Christians live their lives for the Lord and seek to live lives that are clean and lives that are holy. But the psalmist says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Jesus said, confess me before men. Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. And here the psalmist says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And yes, it's important that we live our lives before people. But we need to proclaim with our mouths the faithfulness of God as well. People might know that you're a nice person, and they might know that you don't drink, and you don't smoke, and you don't curse, and you don't swear, and that you go to church on Sundays. All of those things are important. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And here the psalmist says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to proclaim God's faithfulness. And you don't have to be a theologian in order to be able to do that. You just tell people what he has done for you. Great is thy faithfulness. We cannot be neutral. We cannot be indifferent. God is faithful. He's faithful to his person. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his purposes, faithful to his people. His faithfulness is great. It's abundant and it's abiding. His faithfulness is a fact. What is our response to his faithfulness today? Will we trust him for everything? Will we seek to obey him in everything? And will we seek to proclaim him to everyone? May God write his word upon our hearts. We're going to sing together a hymn. I'll go to the door as we sing it. It's number 467, please, 467. Familiar hymn, When We Walk With the Lord. In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Then the hymn, Trust and Obey. Listen, for there's no other way, no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We can try 1,001 other things, but unless we trust, unless we seek to obey the Lord, we'll never enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. 4, 6, 7.